Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome in, welcome in. Once again, the fastest 60 minutes of sports on your web one more and again. So, 619. I'm not sure. Anyway, 619-639-4777. Again, 619-639-4747. To join the conversation, the fastest 60 minutes of sports for your Sunday, March 2013, we rock it one more and again. To say that hockey has dominated the airwaves would be the understatement of the year. Those of you still the hockey now I had Chicago finished off a shootout win over the Detroit Red Wings and continued that streak now grows 28 games with a point. 41 points for a season. Now, those of you who are hockey fans, this can be an absolute nothing to you, and that's especially for the United States of America, because let's face it, football league, major league, and the NBA eat up the majority of your time, along with the occasional great golf tournament. Which here in Canada is taking center stage, and because of the boycott and this unconscious one are on right now. Now historically, too much different for again those of us who really want to get another coat that says 2013 NHL champions, 2012, whatever. I'm not even sure how the NHL does that. Is it 2012-13? Or, you know, I think my coat says 2010, the one that I have from the last championship they won a couple years ago. And the fun thing about this particular team is their core has not changed. It just hasn't. And so if you were watching the game at all today, if you're watching the Red Wings and the Blackhawks at all today, you saw a Red Wings team that does what it always does, play the Hawks very, very tough, very tight, very physical, finishing out their checks really, really hard and keeping the Hawks a little bit off pace. And so this won't have a great number of highlights in it, but if you're a Blackhawks fan, this was some of the best goaltending you've probably seen in a game all year. All done, with other 2 minutes to go in the game, the Red Wings are up 1-0. And you're thinking to yourself, man, what a great run. You know, the Blackhawks are primed to continue on. We have a great season. And then all of a sudden the puck, and this is a penalty, a delay game penalty, goes out of the playing surface by one of the Red Wings, which is a two-minute penalty. That two-minute penalty would turn out to be the difference in this game. On the power play, Patrick Kane, one of the most skilled players in the game, period. Basically, right place, right time, a quick pass from Victor Stahlberg, and a one-timer goes top shelf, and next thing you know, this game is 1-1. And there was trepidation in the Joe Louis Arena at that point in Detroit, as we weren't sure, for the Detroit fans, whether or not this was actually going to get to overtime, because there was a tremendous amount of pressure put on by the Blackhawks to, again, control and perhaps get this game in regulation. Well, lo and behold, we actually get to the overtime, 1-1. And in the overtime period, another delay of game. You know, again, puck just leaves the playing area one more time, and here come the Blackhawks to the power play again. Now, for those of us who are true Blackhawk fans, you know, you're excited about that line that's coming on the ice right now with Jonathan Toews, Marian Hossa, the defenseman of Jonathan Oduya, and the bottom line is things did not look good for the Red Wings, but they survived the penalty and survived the overtime. Their penalty killing was really, really strong in the OT. So now we get to the shootout, and from the Pavel Datsyuks and Henrik Zetterbergs, you think it's just going to be a pretty fair shootout. The Blackhawks just happen to have Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. Well, if you've never seen Patrick Kane, he's probably in line to be the MVP this year. His ability to stop, move, quickness, and puck control is off the chains. Whatever he did in the offseason is making a huge difference in his game here. And for what's worth, he never had a shot to stop this shootout attempt by Kane. He beats him, and that's really it. One more stop by Crawford, game's over, and before you know it, your Chicago Blackhawks have now extended this record. Let's get to the standings. Forget the division, guys. Let's look at the standings. And it's not as if there aren't some really, really good teams currently playing great hockey. I mean, Boston is 14-2-2 after 18 games. They've got 30 points. They look incredibly strong. Pittsburgh, 14-8 losses, but still 28 points. And then Carolina, 11-8-1. 23 points, and they're just now starting to heat up as well. From the Canadian side of things, Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto, middle of the pack right now, but still nice to see that three teams from Canada, this is in the Eastern Conference now, are viable and actually active doing things that make a difference. In the league, New Jersey, 7th seed, Philadelphia, the 8th seed right now. Philadelphia playing 500 hockey at this point. Winnipeg's on the outside looking in. And, of course, you've got the Washington Capitals, who, by all accounts, are a better team than they play. They're 6-4 in their last 10, but right now still sit at 8-11-1 for the season. So, hopefully, because, again, the game is fun no matter what. It's a fast-paced game. It's energy. It's great skill. But, you know, when Alex Ovechkin is in the playoffs, it's just more fun. The Islanders outside looking in right now, 8-11-2. Buffalo, remember Dominic Hasek back in the day? They're 9-12-1 now. They've fallen off. Tampa Bay's 9-11-1. The New York Rangers, both New York teams are currently out of the playoff picture. And this is a shortened season. Keep that in mind. This is a 48-game season. So, but now to the Western Conference. There's been domination, and then there's what the Blackhawks are doing. They're now 19-0-3, 41 points. Won 9 straight. This is called dominating. And again, Anaheim's 15-3-2, which is a great start by all accounts. It just happens to be in the same season that Chicago is playing unconscious right now. Vancouver in the third spot, 11-5-4, 26 points. Just coming off a win. Of course, the St. Louis Blues, who lost to the Blackhawks a couple of nights ago, 3-0, were shut out, are 11-7-2, 24 points in. So 8 points out of what, again, the Anaheim Ducks are 32 points in right now. That would, by all other accounts, be a great start. And at the top of the conference. It just so happens that they're in the same conference as an unconscious Chicago Blackhawks team who, for most of us fans, we hope they never wake up at this point. We really do. And just when you thought today would be the day that they would lose 1-0, you know, it's almost as if you remember back in college basketball when Illinois was 35-0. The unfortunate side of that team is the only game they lost was the national championship game in North Carolina that year. But still, kids wound up, most of them going to the National Basketball Association doing well. But this is the highest level of hockey that's being played right now. And right now, the most dominant team in the game are the Chicago Blackhawks. Okay, 22 games played, 19 wins, three decisions in overtime, three overtime losses. And again, an overtime loss does not mean you necessarily don't get a point. You still get a point for going overtime. But there has been no regulation game loss. And that, my friends, is the unconscious part. You've not lost a game in regulation. And this goes back to even portions of last year when you were getting points. It is amazing. 28 games now where you've gotten a point out of this squad. Anyway, moving forward down the rest of the teams, the Anaheim Ducks 15-3-2, Vancouver's 11-5-4, the Blues 11-7-2, San Jose, a good team, 10-6-4. The Red Wings today took it on the chin today, but they're still 10-8-4. They'll be heard from. Phoenix 10-8-3, they're playing better hockey. Nashville 9-8-5. That's just a gritty team. Boston just got it starting to turn around. They lost last night, and they're 10-7-2. They come off a five-game win streak. Minnesota 10-8-2. Los Angeles, Minnesota begins those that are currently outside the playoff window. And all the way down, unfortunately, to the bottom, are Calgary Flames 7-8-4. But I will continue for those of you who really thought that they took it on the chin when they had a 3-goal lead against Colorado. That they're still playing better hockey and that they still can be heard from. 8 losses is not a season make. in the next three games, which will be absolutely vital to the success of this particular season, they obviously have to show up. They come out of these next three games 3-0, then you know what? Their season turned around. They're 10-8. They come out 2-1. They still got a shot. 9-9. You're 500. You know, basically, you still got a shot. If you go 1-2 or worse, yeah, then everyone in this in Alberta will basically side with the reality that this isn't going to be that year, and the Flames will no longer be relevant. That will be the impetus. But today, well, love to talk about the Football League. You know, tell you Alex, the 49ers quarterback, is no longer with the 49ers. He's now a Kansas City Chief. It's a good deal for him. They need a quarterback. Matt Castle never really panned the way they thought he would. Brady Quinn, I guess, may still be the backup. We'll see how that plays itself out soon enough. Baseball has just gotten unearthed around the nation, basically. And here's some shock for you. The Chicago Cubs have shut down Matt Garcia for about a month. I mean, he may have a dead arm, but basically what that means is Jeff Samardzija will be the opening day starter for the Cubs. Now, when he was a kid, this is a kid that went to Notre Dame and played football and was a big-time tight end and was offered lots of money, was going to get drafted in the NFL, and his parents convinced him that he had a better shot playing baseball than he would be having the successes in football. Now, just an FYI, there was Samardzija, and I believe it was Brian Hutt. I think now, I could be wrong. Both of them play tight end at Notre Dame. They were both very, very good. Hartline goes on to play in the NFL with the Miami Dolphins, does well. And why am I thinking Hartline's wrong? We'll verify. But the fact is, Samardzija played tight end for Notre Dame. Big target, very, very talented, and just talked him into playing baseball. He goes and plays baseball. Now he's making roughly $10 million a year. He's healthy, and now one of those lifelong childhood dreams is I'm starting on opening day. So there you go. Matt Garza would have been the opening day starter, but they've shut him down. Something's going on with the arm. I don't know enough about it at this point, but nonetheless, Garza shut down, so there you go. World Baseball Classic currently going on right now. 8-3, Taipei over the Netherlands, and China is losing to Japan 5-2 right now. Let's see. What else is going on? Spring training baseball in the wings right now. Pittsburgh an 8-6 leader over in the ninth inning. Cardinals 6-5 over Washington in the eighth. The Yankees 5-1 over Boston. San Francisco 3-0 over Arizona. San Diego 3-0 shutout right now over the White Sox in the fifth. The Cubs 2-1 leaders in the fourth. Kansas City a 2-2 leader over Cincinnati. Looks like Cubs are doing split squad. Milwaukee's got a 4-0 lead over the other squad. Seattle 6-1 over Texas. Oakland 2-1 over Colorado. Atlanta 6-1 over Detroit. Tampa Bay 7-2 over Minnesota. Miami 6-4 over the Mets. And Baltimore 12-3 winner over Philly. And Philadelphia, they split again, split squad again. The Philadelphia Phillies 13-5 over Toronto today. For those of you who haven't been playing attention to the prognosticator in Major League Baseball, there is a big buzz around Toronto this year with some of the offseason moves they've made and the fact that they may be really, really relevant again to contend against the mighty Yankees and, well, unfortunately, the fall from grace. Don't sleep on the Baltimore Orioles this year. That could be a fun team as well to pay attention to. So the Baltimore Orioles, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Yankees should battle it out. And then there's always a relatively competitive Tampa Bay squad, which can always rear its ugly head just because there's always some raw talent that they seem to find that no one else seems to be aware of. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let's take a look at some of the prognosticators in baseball real quick and see exactly how they think this is going to actually – well, for the sake of simplicity, let's call them predictors, okay? Or predictions, man, it's even easier. How about I spell it right? That would always help. Major League Baseball predictions of 2013. American League division winners and the wild card. All right, here we go. Let's rock and roll, everybody. The AL East predictions have the Toronto Blue Jays winning the division. The Central has the Tigers repeating. The American League West is the Angels of Anaheim. And even though it's the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, that's the stupidest name, sorry. The wild card being the Texas Rangers and the Cleveland Indians. Even the Indians were really good last year. Is there any love for the National League in here? I wouldn't guess so, because let's face it, something hasn't been relevant for, well, even though they have won the last couple World Series with the Giants. But that is all about the American League, so we shall move on. All right. Is this where I can say back to hockey? No, basketball. Fine. But those of you basketball heads out there, and I'm sure you're out there, 619-639-4747. Currently, right now, on your airways, Oklahoma City, a 29-22 leader over the Los Angeles Clippers. Earlier today, the Miami Heat and LeBron, 99-34, Carmelo and the Knicks. Today, Philly and Washington getting on about 4 o'clock Mountain Time, 5 o'clock Central, 6 on the East Coast. Memphis and Orlando, same window. Charlotte, Sacramento, same window. Dallas and Houston tip it off at 7. The Pistons and Spurs get it started about 7 on the East Coast. Bulls and Pacers, that'll be a good game tonight in Indiana, Chicago. That game gets started about 8 o'clock tonight on the East Coast, 7 o'clock in Chicago. Atlanta against the Lakers, that's the late game for those of you on the eastern side of the world, 9:30, which means that game will get started about 6:30, 7:30 in the rest of the world. For those of you looking to see how Dwight Howard and LeBron will play against a pretty tough Atlanta squad right now. So there you go. And for those of you really, really wondering what's going on in football, the biggest story in football right now is that Randy Moss looks like he's hanging it up. Now, he hasn't come out and officially said, I'm retiring, but he wishes the 49ers good luck in the future. Either he's been cut or he's retiring. So take your pick. Let's see. Oh, he does plan to play again. Wow. Of course, wishes he could have won the Super Bowl with the Niners. I'm just going through this quickly, y'all. 982 catches, 15,290 yards, 156 touchdowns in the 14-season career. Moss enjoyed his best season with the Patriots in 2007, where he caught 98 passes for 1,493 yards and a single-season record of 23 touchdowns. That was the year the Patriots went 16-0, but ultimately lost in the Super Bowl to the Giants. There's nothing else really to talk about other than, well, Joe Flacco's deal. I mean, again, the Baltimore Ravens do have to sign their franchise quarterback and throw him some money. How much money are they going to throw him? Well, we'll just have to wait and see. In the meantime, of course, Kansas City sells today, so that is some stability at quarterback. You know, that's got to be one of those teams, the Kansas City Chiefs, where you expect so much more out of them than you ever get. Anyway, well, we'll stay optimistic. I've always liked the Kansas City Chiefs organization. Just wish they could, win a championship once in a while. That would be a lot of fun as well. Don't know if it's going to happen anytime in the near future, but man, would that be love. In the meantime, 17 past the hour in the fastest 60 minutes of sports as we roll on. Do we need to pay some bills? Yes, we do. All right, we're back in 30. See ya.
All your documents, photos, movies, and music at your fingertips all the time. That's the power of the cloud. That's the power of HP WebOS. HP, everybody on.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mmm.
Germany?
Mmm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mmm.
Or Mars? It, what about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet.
Mmm.
Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mmm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip? Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's mmm to you. Lipton tea can do that.
Back on the ride, the fastest 60 minutes in sports, yours truly, Vinny Moore. 619-639-4747. 619-639-4747. Nothing lined up today, guys, for March 3rd, 2012. So it's just us, 19 past the hour, as we roll on. We've talked about, of course, the NHL. We've talked about Major League Baseball. We've talked about the National Football League. We've talked about the NBA. We've not talked about college basketball. So let's get into that next. And let's start with some rankings and who's doing what. If anyone's making any major league moves, because I don't believe that's kind of what's going on. I know in the middle of last week we saw Gonzaga kind of bolt to number two with a bullet and target on number one. Let's see. Let's see what the who's hot and who's not segment of the college basketball world has to share with us. If anything, come on, guy. There we go. Come on. You got to love it. Yes. Well, I shouldn't tease it for being slow, but snails are snails no matter how you look at it. All right. So up through this week, top 25 in college basketball starts 25 down to 1. Louisiana Tech at 25. Oregon now 24. Pittsburgh 23. Marquette 22. Notre Dame, Butler, Memphis, St. Louis get you to 18. Wisconsin 17. Ohio State now falling to 16 at 27. Oklahoma State is 15. New Mexico, quietly, 23-4. 13 is Kansas State, 22-5. Watch out for the Kansas State squad. Syracuse has fallen to 12th at 22-5. Arizona is 23-4. Louisville, 22-5. Michigan State, number 9 at 22-6. Florida, 22-4. At one point, it was number 2. Now it's back to number 8. Georgetown is edged up to 21-4. And it's number 10 Kansas. Bill Self's Kansas squad, number 6. In the nation, 23-4. Miami is 22-4, number 5 in the nation. The Michigan Wolverines, which were at one point number 2, and at one point number 1, 23-4. The Dukies, Mike Krzyzewski's Duke squad, 24-3, is number 3. The number 2 squad in the nation at 27-2 is Gonzaga. And then number 1, and again, the nation's darling, for obviously the depth they've got on the squad, is the Indiana Hoosiers at 24-3. USA Coaches Poll, not much different except at the back end where you see Virginia Commonwealth at 25, Akron 24, St. Mary's 23, and then pretty consistent throughout at that point all the way up. There are no apparent issues with suspensions going on, so there's nothing really to talk about there. I think it's interesting. Let's take a look at one of my favorite schools real quick, which is Illinois. And I'll tell you why I'm looking at these guys. This is a squad that at one point went in the country, and by the time they got to conference play, found out that this conference was really, really good this year. But they're 21-9, so they're just outside any really eligibility for being ranked. Just beating Nebraska 72-65 actually just yesterday, and they play Iowa on Tuesday on the 5th. But this is a program, they've changed their football coach, they've changed their basketball coach, largely all in the same season. So Tim Beckman, who is the football coach, is now looking at his team looking for leaders. We find that the basketball team is largely following suit. Now, I won't say they've got an easy schedule, easy non-conference schedule, because the conference is one of the toughest in the nation. Matter of fact, I believe they're 8-8 in the conference, which gives you an idea. This is alongside with Michigan, Iowa, Indiana, all there. They've got some really good wins. So, by the end of March, we'll be talking about March Madness and the college basketball tournament. And you'll start to see exactly where all these guys are going to go in a big chance. And I think in terms of snubs, that Illinois is not going to be one of those bubble squads. Again, 65 teams will make the tournament, and I'd be stunned if Illinois is one. Of course, I'm from Illinois, so that's obviously where I'm going to start. All the other squad I'm curious about looking at is the Oregon Ducks. And I do this largely because I've got family and friends out in the Oregon area. I'm curious just to see. I know they're ranked, which is always a good plus. They're 23-6 right now. They're 12-4 in conference play. So they should be a solid to get into the dance, probably as a 4 seed, a 3 or 4 seed in whatever region they go to. That will be very, very interesting in terms of how they do, because both of these teams, both Oregon and Illinois, will surprise some teams. They don't play conventional, if you've got more talent, you should beat me. No, if the shots are falling from these guys from the perimeter, you have a whole different ball game. So just something to consider as we get closer and closer into March and into this. Now, for those of you interested, on ESPN.com right now, you can catch all the highlights from today's Red Wings-Blackhawks game for those in the U.S. If you go to TSN.ca in Canada, you can get all the highlights there as well. Stellar efforts of Corey Crawford today and a late goal. Of course, kept the Blackhawks streak alive in Detroit, with them ultimately winning in the shootout 2-1. just a fun time to be a Blackhawk fan. An absolute blast right now. If you're on Facebook, check us out, The Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. If you are on Twitter, check me out at VinLove1207. Certainly become a follower. We'd love to hear from you. Love to get your feedback on not only the show, but what's going on in your world and your passion for your sports team, wherever you're at in this world. And let's see, anything else? NFL free agency? No. Done. Guys, uniquely enough, this is going to be a 30-minute show today, and that's okay. I'm good with that. It also means that I'm actually be able to go get something to eat before I get into the rest of my day. And just an FYI for those of you, last night I had the good luxury of spending some time out at a place called Earl's, just south of downtown in Calgary, and hanging out and did something kind of fun, you know, just hanging out with friends. And we started to look around, and again, I appreciate this platform because this is where we get to, you know, talk about more, obviously, than just sports as well. But it's an entertaining show, and we found last night to be quite entertaining with the people that were around us. So we started judging, you know, whether that it was the gold digger and the old guy, or was it the dad and daughter that ultimately wind up kissing in a manner that tells you, well, that's not a dad and daughter kind of kiss. So suffice to say, a great time. And people are really, really interesting today. I don't know what's going on in the world of dating as a whole. It seems now that youngsters are, well, their perspective of older guys has dramatically changed. I would venture last night looking at what I thought would be maybe between 19 and 24 years old dating someone in their maybe early 40s, that there was really, really something there. Now, if he's not in his 40s, maybe he just looks elderly and that's just something he's trying to aspire to. So if he's in his, you know, late 20s or 30s, then something's fundamentally really gone wrong. But you can say that Vinnie Moore said that, all right? And I was at Earl's on 24th and 4th, and that's where I saw it. So if you happen to know who that person is, tap him on the shoulder, a shave, a haircut, something, because you're looking a little, anyway. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. Hats off to Karen Knight, a tremendous little interim co-host last night, as we had fun just, you know, talking about family life, and again, that's one of those ride or die friends that you are very, very thankful to have in your world. So to my staff, Jeffrey, Goggin, Sachin, Annie, Brian, who am I forgetting, Dewakar, Michael Cursell, Susan Giddings, guys, I love you, you're special, I appreciate you guys so much. The time that I'm going to continue to spend here up in Calgary will run at least right now through August. We're anxious to see a lot of things to fruition, and obviously we'll have more conversations later about what's to come. In the meantime, for those of you NFL heads who are kind of just waiting for me to go into my NFL, you know, love fest, I'm going to do you a solid because I love you. I'm going to play Ray Lewis's The Final NFL Journey, which is about 3 minutes long, get to you real quick, and then we'll come back and wrap things up on The Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. I know. I'll see if I can find something to fill the last 20 with, guys. I'll be back in a minute.
I'm from Progressive.
Flo here, coming at you live from Progressive. Today's topic is
savings.
Our first caller is Betty.
Hi, Flo. My insurance company just sent me a bill, and it went up again. Can you guys help me get a better rate?
Betty, you came to the right place. Only Progressive has the Name Your Price option.
Name Your Price.
That's great. How does it work?
We'll give you a starting point, and you adjust it based on your needs, so you're only paying for what you want.
Betty's calling the shots.
Let's go to our next caller. She's from my hometown, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Go ahead, caller.
Flo, is that you? Just a little reminder about the family reunion. You should talk to Uncle Gene about getting a ride to the
Mom,
house.
I thought we agreed you weren't going to call here anymore.
Name your price for car insurance. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yahoo Sports NFL This Week is presented by the Citi Thank You Premier Card. Redeem your thank you points for travel with no blackout dates.
To win a ring on your last ride, no matter what was said, no matter what I've been through, and as a man, it's the greatest reward ever. to go out 17 years of a journey for the rest of my life, and I get to say I was a champion when I went out.
Ray Lewis took his final steps off a football field Sunday night in New Orleans, his 251st and final game in pads. The last snaps came on the biggest of stages.
The journey, man. I've spoke about it time and time again. You know, through the journey, you're going to find yourself going through peaks and valleys. We heard that we couldn't beat Denver. We heard that we couldn't beat New England. We heard that we couldn't beat San Fran. And we overcame all odds. And for us to be here as world champs right now, it shows you that when you believe in something as men, as a team, what wins is chemistry. What wins is togetherness.
This is a man of mixed legacy, polarizing to fans. There is no debate, however, among his teammates. Ray Lewis inspired them and led them, and his impact on the Ravens will continue for decades.
Him telling us this was his last ride, you know, we wanted to send him out the right way. Confetti dropping, him holding the Lombardi Trophy, and, you know, we was able to give him that.
The thing that I kept telling my teammate was, all of them, my coaches, I wanted to see their faces when that confetti came out of the sky and we was world champs. And to feel that, to feel what they felt like. And it's the greatest reward as a leader to give your team, to show them and talk to them about a vision and then finishing it.
His next steps, he says, will be his most important, leaving a path for his children to follow.
To see my kids and to bring them this championship now where they can understand what Daddy talks about when I talk about hard work and never quitting and always believing in your dreams and your goals. There's no better reward as a father. There's just no better way to go out.
Lewis reached his locker one last time, took off his uniform, and embraced his teammates. He leaves the game as a Super Bowl champion again, anchoring an epic goal line stand on the final drive to cap a career whose path will lead him to camp.
Okay, that's kind of weird. That was dead air, guys. Get that together. It was a great little piece. Anyway, 32 past the hour. I'm sitting here pondering, let's see, what do we do now? We've covered everything we needed to cover. We've gone through college basketball. I don't want to get into college football because that's just a snooze at this point. I certainly can go back to hockey. I mean, there's some Vancouver fans out there that are just giving me all kinds of grief because I haven't given their squad really any love whatsoever, but, you know. Let me run you down the NHL scoreboard right now. Ottawa 1-1 with the Islanders just nearing the end of the second period. Colorado 1-0 lead over Columbus. Dallas a 2-1 lead over St. Louis. Of course, earlier today you saw the Blackhawks extend the streak to 28 games with a consecutive point. Torrey Crawford stopping 22 shots as the Blackhawks get it done in the shootout 2-1 and stay on even regulation. What can you say, 19-0-3 about that squad? Later on today, Carolina and Florida, Montreal, Boston, Buffalo, the New York Rangers, Edmonton, Minnesota, Vancouver, Calgary is tonight. So I don't know where you're at. If you're in Calgary right now, this game's going to jump off. Looks like about 6, 7 o'clock here at the Saddle Dome. So they're around the city. It's always amazing in a true hockey town. When your local teams are on, crime goes down. It's like the criminals themselves are the greatest fans. They don't think that, hey, no one's paying attention, I can go ahead and do this. You know what? No. They're fans just like you are. They're someplace in a local pub or a local bar somewhere enjoying their local team in hopes that team can pull off a win. So tonight, and that's something that we can talk about right now, let's get into Vancouver, Calgary, and what this should be versus what it is. Okay? Let's go right down the line here. Just failed to stop, though it turns out they may have avoided a catastrophe. The Flames will try to rebound from a pair of road losses Sunday night when they host the Northwest Division leading Vancouver Canucks. Calgary currently 7-8-4, signed restricted free agent Ryan O'Reilly, Colorado's leading scorer last season, to an offer sheet on Thursday, but the Avs quickly matched it and inked the center to a 2-year, $10 million deal. If Colorado had failed to match the Flames' offer within a week, it would have received Calgary's first and third round picks in the NHL draft. It was also reported that Calgary could have lost O'Reilly, who, according to the league's collective bargaining agreement, would have had to clear waivers since he had played two games in Russia's KHL after the start of the NHL regular season. Flames general manager Jay Feaster said the team had a different interpretation of that portion of the CBA, CBA meaning collective bargaining agreement, but the league wouldn't clarify what could have resulted, instead saying that it would become an academic point. Okay. We played a first great period and found a way to Bob Hartley said to the game against Colorado, where they were up 3-0. Calgary, though, returns home with a chance to win three straight at Scotiabank Saddledome for the first time since a four-game run March 6th to the 15th. The Canucks, 11-5-4, meanwhile, will try to build off Saturday's 5-2 victory against L.A. as they open a stretch of 4-5 games on the road. It was our best game in a long time, said Captain Henrik Sedin, after the recording a pair of assists to increase his team-leading total to 17. It felt good. Vancouver's 13-2-3 in its last 18 games against the Flames after winning 3-2 in a shootout in January 23rd and 5-1 on February the 9th. The Canucks, though, are not overlooking their next opponent. We know it won't be easy. They're a tough team to play in their building, says Alex Burrows. And for those of you who don't know, there is a true love-hate with Alex Burrows between those of us in the Blackhawk world and those of us in the Vancouver world. Corey Schneider was in the net the last time the Canucks played Calgary, a 3-2 loss on April the 5th. But it's uncertain if he faced the Flames for the third half of the season. If he doesn't, it's our buddy Robert Luongo will see his first action since giving up all those goals in last Sunday's 8-3 loss at Detroit. He had only allowed 7 in his previous 6 starts. Luongo might have a good chance to bounce back if he gets the call Sunday. He's 4-0-1 with a 1.77 goals against average in his last 5 starts in Calgary. Flames goaltender Mika Kiprusoff, who matched Schneider's 34 saves on the 23rd, told the team's official website on Saturday that he's pretty close to returning after missing the last 12 games with a sprained MCL. If Kiprusoff can't go, Joey McDonald would likely make a 6th consecutive start. He last faced the Canucks in 2009 while with Toronto. Leland Irving, who has since been sent back to the AHL, turned aside 26 Vancouver shots in last month's game. Daniel Sedin, the Canucks' leader with 3 points, all assists against Calgary this season, recorded his team's high 8th goal on Saturday. Flames captain Jerome McGinley has scored 4 of his 5 goals in the last contest and then 2 on Thursday. In his last 17 games against the Canucks, Calgary has won 2 straight at home in the series after losing the previous 5. Here's the deal for Calgary. They simply need to win. They need to hold their defensive postures and positions as they play the game. They are skilled enough to get on top of Vancouver. The question is, can you slow down the Sedins? It is not rocket science, but Vancouver's a very good team. And I contend to you that the Calgary Flames are probably the best 7-8 and 4 team on paper. They have struggled at home. They're 4-5-2 at home. 500 basically on the road, but man, do they struggle in the Saddledome. And it doesn't make any sense. That is one of the hardest places for opposing teams to come play. It's intimate. It's loud. They should be dominating. And I know Hartley's putting in a brand new offense, which focuses on offense. He's put a whole new plan, I guess, pulling on this offense. And still holding up the expectations of a balanced approach on defense. But it's a faster hockey game for the Flames. And some of these guys just seem to be a step slow. And if you watch any Flames hockey, you know this to be fact. It seems that at times, in the third, fourth line, they're just a little slower. You know, getting to the puck, picking up the loose pucks, you know, in scrapes. They just seem to be a half step slow, and it's the weirdest thing to see. Suffice to say, you cannot get up 3-0 on a Colorado Avalanche team in their building and literally proceed to puke on yourself and give it up, winding up ultimately losing 5-4. That should not happen. Anyway, 39 past the hour, and the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is I'm done talking today. It's a beautiful Sunday outside in Calgary. The Flames play tonight. The Blackhawks have already won, so for yours truly, it is already a great day. Again, my love to all the family in Richmond Park. I love to do about it. To all the fans out there, keep Fast 60 Minutes of Sports alive and well. Thank you so much. Keep it on your speed dial at some point, 619-639-4747. Follow us on Facebook at the Fast 60 Minutes of Sports.com. Follow us on Twitter at VinLove1207. And more fun stuff coming down the road as we get closer and closer down the road to March Madness. I think I'm done. Is there anything else? No? Oh, really? No, 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 no. No, we didn't. Well, there's no reason to really get into the NFL, guys. There's really not much there at this point. I don't want to play some old school music as I can. Wait. There is one thing. There's one last thing we did forget. For those of you who didn't know this, Dennis Rodman. Remember Dennis Rodman? Dennis Rodman went to, Korea, apparently, on a trade ambassador. Is Dennis Rodman your basketball ambassador? I'm sorry. I find that a little shocking. But he's on ABC, and he spent some time with Kim Jong-un, who wants to talk basketball with Obama. And so he was on with George Stephanopoulos talking about this this meeting. It's 2 days with Kim Jong-un. And there are pictures. I'll put a link out there somewhere on ctvnews.ca. If you just Google Dennis Rodman, you'll see the Kim Jong-un lady where they basically are sitting at a basketball game. Kim is 28 years old, okay? And while he's got some issues with, obviously, historically, the control and the dictatorship that he basically has over that nation, he wants Obama. He sent back Dennis Rodman with a message to give to President Barack Obama of the United States of America. And that message, my friend, was call him. Call him. Now, Barack Obama is a big-time fan of basketball, and Kim Jong-un is also a huge basketball fan. North Korea's young leader has riled the U.S. with recent nuclear tests, but Kim Jong-un doesn't really want war with a superpower. He just wants a call from President Barack Obama to chat about their shared love of basketball. According to the erstwhile diplomat Dennis Rodman, ex-NBA star, just back from an improbable visit to the reclusive communist country, he loves basketball. I said, Obama loves basketball. Let's start here. This is a way to charm up the relationship between the U.S. and North Korea, Rodman said. He asked me to give Obama something to say and do one thing. He wants Obama to do one thing, which is call him, said Rodman, who called the authoritarian leader an awesome guy during his trip. The State Department criticized North Korea for wining and dining Rodman while his own people go hungry. Rodman also said Kim told him, I don't want to do war. I don't want to do war. Yet in January, after the UN Security Council voted to condemn the North Korean successful rocket launch in December and expand penalties against Kim's government, his National Defense Commission said in a statement that setting accounts with the U.S. needs to be done with force, not with words. The statement also promised a new phase of the anti-U.S. struggle that has lasted century after century. North Korea and the U.S. fought on opposite sides of the Three Korean War, which ended in a truce in 1953. The foes technically remain at war. They never signed a peace treaty and do not have diplomatic relations. Rodman was the highest profile American to meet Kim since Kim inherited power from his father, Kim Jong-un, in 2011. He traveled to the secretive state of the Harlem Globetrotters team for a new HBO series produced by New York-based Vice Television. So that's it. And the more I talk about that and that story, my eye just burns. While I have opinions on that, I will reserve comment for nothing more than the fact that the intent, I think, was well-founded. And I hope that certainly when it works out well. And again, if all the man wants is a phone call to talk basketball with the President of the United States, well, I guess he's kind of put the ball in Barack's court, as they say, to somehow respond. Anyway, 43 past the hour. We're going to wrap this thing up in a 45-minute show today. So I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Again, 619-639-4747. Put it in your speed dial. Put it in your phone. Play it back in an archive. For hockey fans, I'm sorry. Chicago is still king of the mountain right now. It's the most dominant team in hockey. Look forward to the Vancouver-Calgary game tonight. Looking for some good things to come for the Calgary Flames. And looking for more good things to come out of Boston and Pittsburgh on the NHL this year. So wherever you're at in this world, I love you. Nothing you can do about it. God, I've got a headache now. That whole story with Rodman and Kim Jong-un. Anyway, best wishes to all. Love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We will catch you next time, next week, as soon as we can, only on the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Good night, everybody.